Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up, I get to do one of my favorite things, introduce you to a new member of the News for the Soul radio family. Michelle Carpenter is going to be running a show here called Council of Eight. Very excited about the show and about her joining us. We're going to start with our famous first question and unpeel the onion from there. So let's bring her on. Michelle, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi. Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for inviting me onto this wonderful platform. And I'm so excited but so nervous at the same time.
Yeah, you'd be fine. No one's ever lost an eye doing this. We're all good. Everything's intact.
Wonderful.
But we do start with our famous first question because it's the place that kind of connects us together as a movement and following of over a quarter of a century now. The earnest wanting of knowledge of what's really real and what's really possible. So I always ask people this question first because it's kind of the thing that got my attention right from very, 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 very early in life, this lifetime. And that's having these experiences that were outside the so-called 3D norm that, I didn't know if anyone else was having, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be having, but I was having, and, freaked out at a very, very young age and paid notice to these things. Yep. So I'm curious if you had something outside the 3D norm, like an earliest recollection or two, and also your most profound, we love hearing those ones. So wherever you'd like to start.
Gosh, probably the biggest one that comes to mind, and it's not the, for me, it wasn't the easiest experience. But what I've come to learn over time is that this was me being in the veil, in the realms and seeing things. I remember as a young girl, I must have been about two or three, because I remember the bedroom that I used to sleep in. And I'd always felt like somebody was chasing me, like I was in the dark and somebody was chasing me. And I remember it profoundly, like I'm lying there right now, and I would wake up like I couldn't find my breath. And and what's interesting is as I've developed my abilities and gifts over time, I've come to realize that we're all born psychic. You know, we all have it. And unfortunately, I didn't have parents who nourished it or knew any different or whatever the story is that I tell myself. But it's a very real memory, and when I tune into that memory, I remember, like I say, running, but actually sensing. I was just sensing so much that was out there, but again, didn't know what to do with it. So I shut it down, and fast forward to me being 33, 34 years of age, going through a very tumultuous time in my life. You know, if anybody wants to know my story, I do have a YouTube platform, and it's also on my website. But a lot of trauma and just a lot of stress, like just living in my fight, flight, fright response. So when I got to the age of 33, I'd found out that my ex-husband was having an affair, and we had a little baby girl. And I actually went to go see a psychic. And he's like, Michelle, you don't love yourself. And all I remember thinking was, just help me with my anger because I want to take out and wipe out every man in this world, and which wasn't a good idea. So he said to me, go and find you. Go and find what self-love feels like and looks like. And I will get you to answer your question, but it was just a part of my journey, and I didn't understand what that meant. So I then went on this journey of searching, which I believe a lot of us, you know, are searching at this moment in our lives. And the more I let go of the old trauma, the more I started to realize that there was more. I did go to church. My parents, my mom specifically, was very much into church, and so I learned to speak in tongues, and I could feel the energy. I could feel the energy of Jesus, and I used to talk to Jesus all the time. So I always felt his presence, but again, always thought it was kind of like outside, you know, instead of knowing that it's the flow is always happening inside, and we're a part of that whole system. So as I let go so much, I started to meditate, which wasn't easy for me once again. I started to do yoga. And always at the end of a yoga class, when we'd lie in our shavasana position, I started to receive messages. but messages for people that were in our group, in our class. And I would walk up to the person and say, hey, by the way, I've just received a message from your grandfather. And they'd say, how do you know this? And I'd say, I don't know. I was guided to come and, you know, speak to you. And in the very beginning of my journey, before even knowing that I was psychic or clairvoyant or a medium, I was a counselor. I started doing part-time caregiving for hospice in the West Rand. And the one very, very real moment of knowing that there is, they are always around us, spirits are always around us, that we're so interconnected, was a client that I was working with, and I saw her little baby in her arms, and I described her baby to her, and I described the dress, and she started to cry uncontrollably. And I said to her, like, I thought I got the information wrong. And she said, how do you know this? And I said, I see you. I see you in your arms. And I described her with this dark curly hair and this beautiful white dress. And she said to me, Michelle, I gave birth to a stillborn baby, and that's exactly what she was wearing. That's exactly what she looked like. And that's when I realized that I was tuning into more. And slowly over time, it's just developed. The Council of Eight have always been around me. I didn't know that until kind of 8-9 years in my journey. Again, I was in this deep dive, like I was seeking and seeking. And I'm sure you remember, Nicole, the beautiful Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay. They were my mentors with all the books and the CDs I used to listen to. So I went on this deep dive, and then I started to connect with them. And my frequency started to change. I'm sorry, you just got to stop me because I'm like, oh my God, I'm like going back and thinking, sure, this is where it's all begun.
Well, I'm going to jump right in there and pick up on it, because you're saying something really interesting, you know, about the, like, your initial experience of being afraid of the dark and the, to me, I call it infinity. It's just too much to, you know, for a human brain to process and deal with, right? And I'm wondering what specific messages at that time, like, how did you shut it down, or what did you decide that was about, the darkness that was chasing you?
Sure, that's a great question. And I thought it was a boogeyman. Like, we were told growing up, you know, like, there's boogeymen out there, and that's what I remember. So for me, you know, there's a lot more to myself being a young person and going through, you know, life the way I have in this lifetime. The boogeyman. And I was like, exactly how I'm talking right now. I don't want the boogeyman to come and get me, you know. And we also, as Africans, so I was born in Zimbabwe, and then we moved to South Africa. And as Africans, they had this very real saying, the Tokoloshes will come to get you. And the Tokoloshes, again, were like boogeymen. So we would have, our beds were quite, like, we used to have spring beds in those days, you know, single bed with a mattress, and which were great for jumping on as kids, by the way. And but I shut it down because I was told they're boogeymen. And my parents, my mom, again, went to the Methodist church, and we were told that everything is outside of us. So I wasn't very much, I was conditioned that it's a boogeyman and it's not right and it's not real. And even when you spoke about the darkness, and I remember even being an adult, because it was so deep for me, the darkness, that I was so afraid of the dark, that we had to, my mom had to put a little lamp on for me. And fast forward into being an adult, I couldn't go into dark spaces because it just completely numbed me and I couldn't breathe. So I had to work really hard with my mindset and with what I was holding on to, but also my body, like teaching my body that it's okay to be in the dark, that that's where everything exists, and we wouldn't be the light without the dark. We wouldn't see the stars if we didn't have the dark sky behind. So it's been a real, in all honesty, a hard life for me. And I hope I don't come across as being a victim. But, you know, you get some mediums that are go, oh, well, at the age of 3 and the age of 4, I remember this and this and this. And I'm like, why wasn't I that person? Why did you choose me to be that person? Well, I clearly wasn't meant to be. My journey was different, you know, and I've learned to be okay with that and accept it and not question the why anymore, because mine was a very real human experience, and then advancing into knowing that there's more and that we're a part of this collective consciousness.
Well, that's the thing, and you learn more when you're going through challenged times and having to work out things like big issues like infinity and darkness. You know, you learn a little more.
Yes.
Those are huge.
Yes.
I wouldn't feel, you know, I wouldn't be complaining about that at all. It's interesting that you were drawn to hospice in particular when you were doing caregiving. How did that happen?
One of my very best friends growing up, she was born with a condition called spina bifida. And she was 16 and a half, almost 17. She had a kidney transplant, one of the kidneys her dad donated. And unfortunately, her body didn't align with the energy of the kidney. And she had passed over in hospice, and one of the big ones in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I remember sitting as a young girl, and it was quite interesting watching her go into these hallucinogenic states, because she loved avocado pear and she loved roast chicken. And she was tiny. She was, I don't know what it is in meters or feet, but she was just little. I mean, she was tiny in her body. She was a dancer, so the dancing kept her healthy for a long time. But then after the transplant, her parents needed to make a decision. Do they keep her on the list or not? And I remember sitting at hospice and watching these hospice caretakers and these counselors. And Tracy, my friend who had passed over, she would crave chicken and avocado. So her mom would go buy her whole roast chicken and avocado, but she couldn't eat it. And I would sit on the couch kind of observing and going, wow, this is amazing. And then watching her parents go for a counseling session and coming out and watching the counselor not fall to pieces. And I couldn't, as the young person that I was, I couldn't understand how they held space, how they weren't falling to pieces with the parents because they were surrounded by death. So she was very much an integral part of my journey because, you know, fast forward, what is the mess like, 15 odd years later, 16 odd years later, me going through this transition of a lifelong pattern, my ex-husband having an affair, my dad had affairs, my mom's dad had affairs, and it took me a long time to find out. But like I said, I went searching, and I went to go see the psychic, and he said, why don't you go on this course? And it was a weekend away with his mom, who was running a part of hospice. And I just felt this calling, this longing. And in my journey, when I was 24 years old, I knocked over, I was a sales rep, and I had knocked over a young girl that had run across the road. And I've come to realize it was a soul connection, a soul contract that we had in this lifetime. So that was when I was 24. When I was 34, 33, 34, and going on this hospice weekend, the facilitator got me to face and feel how I felt about knocking over and killing this young girl. And I thought I was going to learn how to be a hospice caregiver. And I was devastated. So 9 years later, I cried so hard, Nicole, it felt like my head was splitting open. And they literally just gave me headache tablets because all she did was get me to go into the feeling, because all I did was suppress the feeling of knocking over this young girl. And I cried and cried and cried, and like I chunked. And this woman, this facilitator, just held me. And I still get very teary talking about this story because it's such a beautiful part of my journey, but it was a real challenging time of my life because nobody ever wants to admit that they've taken a life, you know, and it was very innocent in the way that it happened, but not at the same time. And I just suppressed it. I just swallowed it up, and I kept working harder, and I kept being more stressed. And my mantra as a sales rep was, the more stressed I am, the more I perform, you know, and that's not a healthy way to live, which I didn't know. Yeah, exactly. And so my body started rejecting me in terms of I was having massive bladder infections. I started bleeding profusely when I was having my periods. And my body was just giving me all these signs. Come on, Michelle, you know, kidney infection after kidney infection, migraines. Went on this weekend and something started to shift for me. And the beauty of how spirit guides us is so miraculous in itself. So the facilitator, and this is a true story, so because I talk so much, and I was talking very much at that time of my life, very disassociated, so I like, blah, 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 you know, like out of my body so often. And because I was meeting everybody and talking at this weekend gathering, the very facilitator that I didn't want was the last person, like she was the only one that had space in her group. And I was like, oh, shit, damn it, I've got to go and work with her. Well, clearly Spirit had a better plan for me, because what is so miraculous about the connection that the two of us had, she is 14 years older than me, but she'd also knocked over and killed a young girl. Her ex-husband had also had an affair. And she was also sexually abused when she was young. So we had resonance in our wow. stories. And I mean, it's quite funny, but we've clearly have been in past timelines together, because just not only in those few stories that we've both shared, there's just something in the purity of our connection and the love that we've had, that we have for one another. So she became my guide, she became my mentor, and the very next session I had was where she got me to go into being 5 years old and working with myself being sexually abused. And I didn't even know, Nicole, I didn't even know that that was trauma. I didn't even know that that was part of how I was stressed. Like, I had no idea wow. that my dad being a Rhodesian soldier, how that impacted on me. I had no idea that, you know, he was, you know, an angry drunk. He was a weekend alcoholic. My mom was an angry drunk. I had no idea. So my absolute gift that was, I suppose, in some divine intervention way, was my ex-husband having an affair, because all the females in my lineage decided to stay. My mom didn't leave my father. And I was the one that decided I'm going to divorce my ex-husband. My parents begged me to stay with him. They were going to take, all I wanted was sole custody of our daughter. My parents said they were going to take his side in court because they wanted me to stay with him. And they kept saying, if your mother could stay and make this work. But there was just all these threats. And this beautiful mentor in my life was the one who just, she became my crutch without a doubt. But she showed up in a space of love when I had days where I wanted to drive in front of a truck because I couldn't understand, you know, working with her brought up all these old emotions, everything that I'd suppressed and thought that I didn't need to work on. And yet she was one of the biggest gifts, and so was my ex-husband, to give me that wake-up call to start looking at me, to start working with me. So it really... You just never know. You never know what divine intervention is going to look like. But the dark night of the soul that I came through, whew, was awful. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody, actually. But you've got to learn to laugh, and that's what I've learned to do. Yeah, the pain and the suffering, whoa, was massive. And still can be at times. You know, there's still moments where I can definitely feel it in my emotions. But may I share something that was absolutely beautiful about the connection with this young girl?
Please do.
You know, three months after the accident, I was clearly deeply traumatized and in shock, and a part of my soul had most certainly left my body. And her mom had got my cell phone number off the accident report sheet, and I actually thought it was my ex-boyfriend playing a prank on me because she phoned. And I'll never forget, I mean, you can't make this up, her name was Mary, and she was a beautiful woman that phoned to find out how I was doing. And I first thought it was a joke, and I was like, are you joking? Like, how did you get my number? And she said, Michelle, I got it off the accident report. And I said, the police are not supposed to give you my number. Like, how did you? And she said, I'm the mum of the young girl. And at the time, the freaky thing of that I had no idea, because I didn't see the body when the car had collided with her. Four people had stopped to look. And they told me it was an older woman. But the woman had said to me she was a young girl, but she was a big girl, so she looked like she was an adult. And I'm very grateful to say she had died instantly, you know, that there was no suffering. But it was so incredibly hard to hear that it was a young 14-year-old young girl. I still feel it to this day. And we have connected in a hypnosis session. Her soul and her spirit have come to me. And she's delightful. Oh, wow. She's absolutely magical. And her mom had said to me, she'd been knocked over when she was 7 and then 14 years old. And she said, it wasn't your fault. And I hope you can live life and forgive yourself. So what an earth angel. You know, they just appear in the most beautiful of ways at times. So I was always grateful to her for taking the time to teach me about compassion, because that's pure compassion in the way I see it. And my hope is one day to share the story without crying, but it's just a part of who I am.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
I'm curious, while all this was going on, at what point did you encounter the Council of Eight, and where were they in all of this, and who are they?
Okay. So when I started to encounter them, when I look back, you know, was with this beautiful mentor of mine, Vicky is her name, and she would teach me, like she would have the board, the whiteboard out, and she was teaching me all about the funnels and energy, and along with me listening to CDs, along with me driving her mad because I'd listen to things and phone her and say, Wayne Dyer's talking about this and this and this, and I don't understand. And she'd say, it's Mesh, it's okay, you'll get it when you get it. And when she was teaching me, and I was very diligent on my journey of wanting to work through my old emotions, work through my trauma, but realizing that I couldn't be fixed, it would come as time would happen, it would unfold as in how it's meant to. And I kept, when she was talking, I kept hearing other voices that were just next to me, but outside of me. But my default setting at that time of my life was I put her on a pedestal, that she knew more than me, which she did, because she came with wisdom. She came with a maturity. She had learned, she was on this earth longer than I was. And she would say to me, Michelle, do not put me on a pedestal because I will disappoint. I'm a human being. So these voices were talking to me, but I never ever questioned who they were. And I used to take her word as word for me. Like everything she said was like, I'm going to live according to what she had taught me, what she had said. And this is just my own need, you know. And slowly but surely, as I started to meditate more and teach my body to relax more, I started to receive different messages. And then we immigrated in 2016 from South Africa to New Zealand. And I first hit a massive downer. I literally just lost myself, became depressed. And then I just didn't even know where to start again. It felt like I was at the beginning of my journey and having to start from scratch. And my husband and I decided that we would set up a therapy room, and the therapies, the modalities I'd learned, I would start with that. And some of them, you know, was massage work, body work, that kind of thing, energy work. And I started putting the word out there. And then the connection, when I would just sit in the room, and I have this wonderful little mantra that I do. I love cash, Nicole. I just love it. And I would sit in my room, and I'd say to the universe, I'm a money magnet. I'm a money magnet. Like, okay, guys, we've immigrated. Like, you've got to bring the cash. You've got to bring the clients, you know. And I would hear these other voices that I'd heard many years ago in South Africa. And then I started saying, who are you? And they'd show me that they're the council. And as I started to develop my practice again and working with wonderful human beings, And I put them on my therapy table. My hands started doing this eight on their bodies. Like it would be in between the session. It would be at the beginning. It would be at the end. And I started questioning, who are you? You know, and I just started to trust my body, trust what my hands were doing. And they showed me the Council of Eight. And I could feel, I started to vibrate. I started to get really, really cold. Now, as the, I sit on the fence about calling myself a healer because I believe that we're all healers. But as the healer that I am, my hands would be ice cold. And all clients would say to me, geez, Michelle, like, are you sure? Because, you know, we're taught that healing hands are warm. And I'd say, I don't know. I think these are healing hands. I don't know. But as my frequency, and I started to shiver, as my frequency started to vibrate because I was becoming more uplifted in myself, and I would shiver. I would shiver like I'd have to put on layers and layers of clothes. And slowly but surely, I would start to connect with them differently because I had to start trusting myself. And as the connection and they started working with me, I started to share messages from them to human beings, like to my clients, and it would be in a different way. They would speak in the now. And I think, whoa, how is this happening? And they just started, like I would reach these, like I said, I would shiver, like my body would just go, and then I would crash. Like 2 or 3 days later, I would crash. I would be exhausted. And then they would guide me. It's okay. Just take, you're reaching a new level. And I really started to sense them differently. I would feel when they came in. I would feel that it wouldn't be me and Michelle because the messages that were coming through were so on point. I did negotiate with them. I have to be honest. I said to them, okay, guys, my vocabulary is not that huge. I was never a genius at school. Can we keep it simple? Like, can we keep the messages simple? And let me know, like, how can we help human beings? How can we walk with human beings? And they kept saying to me, all we're here for is to walk with you on the journey of being human and spirit and human, and trust what we share. And it's become this absolute connection of, I want to say oneness. Like I kind of feel like I wish I could just have them as an oxygen mask all the time. But clearly we're still here to be human. And they're just delightful. They definitely keep things simple. They share truth with people. They share what we need to hear often, not what we want to hear. They laugh at us a lot as human beings, and they really are just so spectacular. And how they have come to show me who they are, because the statement or so when I ask them, who are you? You know, the Council of Eight. I was like, oh, okay, eight, an infinite number. It's about balance. I get that. Okay. Okay, so what do you want me to tell people who you are? Because, you know, for me, again, it's that how can I prove who you are, you know, and this is me not trusting me. And they would say they are angelic beings of light, ascended master to have once walked the earth planes. And then I have a very dear friend in the UK who's been in working with different energies and frequencies for a very long time. And I said to him the one day, Kelv, like, how do I see them? You know, I sense them, I feel them. And he said, he gave me this exercise of looking out the window towards the ocean. And I just went into a completely different stratosphere. And I saw them. And they come to me as the energies of Nelson Mandela, Lady Diana, Mother Teresa, Mother Mary, the human beings that have made change or brought change. You know, there's sometimes always that like one light in our world. And that one light is where, you know, I just know being a South African, how much change Nelson Mandela brought to our country in South Africa, but to the world, you know, in the change of his story, in the change of being in prison for so many years in this little 2-meter by 2-meter cell. And then he came out to bring change, to bring compassion. And it didn't matter the color or creed or the culture or the religion. He just showed up in who he was and the light, because he wasn't that person when he went into jail. And I felt incredibly, I think the word is enamored, where I was like, oh, my God, because then I started questioning, why me? Why are you choosing me? And they said, Michelle, it doesn't matter about the choice. And I know there's other human beings out there that have connected with the Council of Eight. I don't know how they see them or sense them, but they're just pure, Nicole, and they really are here, and they give confirmations, and they are helping us to obliterate the fear, because they only show up in a space of love and kindness and compassion.
Mm. How did you learn to channel them through? Like how did that seems like a huge process to me.
It was initially just purely because I didn't understand it. I didn't I didn't have a mentor to say, okay, Michelle, this is what you've got to do. So I really just trusted in how they were showing me, and trusted in sitting, becoming still, and slowly but surely just taking a few breaths. And basically they would say to me, and I would say to them, are you ready? And they would say to me simultaneously, we're ready. And I just closed my eyes, and for a long time my eyes were closed. And just in the last, I think, 6 months to 8 months, they said to me, trust yourself, start opening up your eyes. So I started opening up my eyes. I still do have moments of closing my eyes, but it's become very simple over time. It was, again, just me not knowing what to do, how to do it. And then I watched a podcast with the wonderful Sheila Gillette, or Gillette, I don't know, Gillette I think is her surname, and she channels Theo. And what she had shared, I went, oh my goodness, yes, this has been similar. You know, in the process, like I've had to learn to navigate my nervous system, because that's what I came to learn, was that these highs that I was going into, where my body was going into these different frequencies, and then I would crash land, and then I was extremely tired. But over time, over the last 5 years, 5.5 years, I've really learned to navigate it, and it's become incredibly simple, where I just close my eyes, take a few breaths, and then go into a different space, and then they come through.
Hmm. Do they come through as a collective then, or each one of those individuals speaking one at a time?
As a collective. So they've always been there as a collective. It just, again, to help if anybody's questioned, you know, like who are they, where do they come from, you know, they've shown me that they come from the 15th dimension. They've said, you know, it's a dimension that hasn't been found as yet, but they keep sharing with me that it's about coming from our soul and connecting into our soul, because our souls only know pure, unconditional love, which is what we all hear in my belief, is been the learning in my journey, is to forgive and find compassion for myself and those that have, you know, that I've, you know, chosen as parents, and people that that may have affected me in this lifetime. Yet, slowly but surely, it was like I used to hear like a little click in the, you know, when your mouth's dry. I used to hear this little like in the back, like of my mouth, and I was like, oh, okay. And it's become really, really simple, but I didn't know that it could be that simple. Again, my lifetime has been quite complicated. So I've kind of gone, okay, guys, can we keep this simple now? But it was about me trusting me. And I've been shown, I did some birth regression at one time, and they're just this pure, pure, pure white light. So they come together as this collective of energies, because as you know, we're energy. And, you know, it's the personality or the person of who they've mentioned themselves to be They said, but it doesn't matter. It's about the energy that people feel. And over time, they've opened up my throat. They've opened up my voice, my vocals, because they guided me to start working with music with clients. And I used to think, I'm like Lady Gaga. I'll channel my inner Lady Gaga. And no, I don't have the same voice. But what was happening was, as I was learning to sing, because I use a lot of music when I'm working in my mediumship or working with individual people, as I was learning to sing, these different tonings were coming through me. And that's been the beauty of who they are, is that they may say to a client or someone that, you know, we feel that you have carried your sorrow or your sadness of your mothers, you know. And they'll just ask a person to breathe, and then they'll bring a toning through. And I never know what the toning is. I have had someone measure the tonings, but the frequency of love is pretty much what they share most times, love and light. Like they always say to somebody at the end of a session, can we please bless you with love, or can we please bless you with light? And there's this very, I want to say almost like an opera, I can't even think of the word, but an opera singer, like that's the frequency that comes through. But they're just beautiful. They really are. And I feel incredibly blessed to be able to connect with them. They said they've been around for a very long time. And yeah, I hope I'm explaining them. Like, I don't want to do them an injustice. You know, I'm always consciously aware of how I speak of them, because I think it's in the sensation, it's in the vibration of when they come through more than anything else. Because sometimes words are just muffles, you know. And but I know as human beings, we want to know. And that was a big part of my journey. Mm. So when I saw Sheila Gillette, I was like, okay, magnesium. Yep, that's good for the nervous system. And that's what I learned, is just to supplement my body. But yeah, that's I'm trying to explain it as best as I can, and I hope that I am doing them a service.
I'm sure they'll clarify any points that were missed once
yes.
they join us.
Yes. True.
So how many years have you been channeling them through now? How long has it been?
For me, it's been about the last 5.5 to 6 years, but more so from an inner strength of trusting and knowing, where I've been putting out videos onto YouTube, that's been in the last 3 years, just after COVID. I started putting messages out. Yeah.
So give us the overview of all the things you're kind of putting out there. You mentioned briefly mediumship and healing. And what are all the things that you do besides the Council of Eight?
Okay. Thank you for asking that. So I've kind of been confused in my life a lot. So I've learned different modalities, and I laugh at myself because one day I'm like, okay, I'm an integrative quantum medicine therapist and this is what I'm going to do. But I've come to realize that we all multidimensional. And so the modalities or the therapy or the way that I work is connecting into loved ones who have passed over. And I bring messages, I deliver messages as a medium to humans who have gone through loss or experiencing grief. And I'm able to connect into a human person's body and able to, like a medical medium, I'm able to, the organs are always talking to me, the energy is always talking to me. And I feel into the unconscious energy that perhaps people aren't consciously aware of. I work a lot with inner children, inner child that's inside of us. So I will perhaps get guided that something would come up, or something had perhaps happened at the age of 3. Now, a lot of times, you know, people, especially because for me, the big word at the moment is trauma. Everybody's working through their trauma, you know, and, you know, trauma can be something as simple as contraction and expansion. Contraction in terms of, if I was sitting playing with my toys or my Barbie doll as a young girl and my brother came and ripped her away from me and I started to cry, you know, that would be a traumatic moment for me in that moment, because he might have run away and broken her head off or broken her leg off. So that was where I contracted into myself, and that's what I'm able to work with human beings. And I'm always working with the resonance of the heart, because the hearts are always showing me, you know, if there's sadness, the heart will show me a subtle contraction. And when the body starts to release and let go, they, you know, the biggest thing that humans would say, or my clients would say, is, wow, I feel lighter. I feel lighter. So often, you know, for me in my journey, and working with others, is the biggest thing is we wait until there's a physical pain in our bodies. You know, like I had to manifest big experiences for me to consciously wake up to myself and take responsibility for my own journey, because I was very much a victim. So that's what I also teach. I teach empowerment, and I teach everyone has the ability to be a medium, because we are. We're interconnected. And the more we let go of the old pain, the old suffering, you know, our English words are very limiting, but it is. And that's where spirit, people who have passed over, loved ones who have passed over, they deliver messages that help the person, the human sitting opposite me, to heal. And often that's in the grieving, which is where we allow ourselves to feel vulnerable. And that's where I love to hold space for humans, to allow themselves to be vulnerable, you know, because as children, we cry. As babies, we cry. And then we somehow are taught that we've got to shut it down in some way. And that's what I absolutely love, is just to help humans see their courage and their bravery in being vulnerable and allowing themselves to grieve. Because when they let go of the contraction within the environment and within their frequency and their energy, they start to expand and they become lighter. And that's where, again, I truly believe that, you know, it's just working in the present moment. So I just work with what shows up in the present moment, and it's in the sensation, in the vibration, because my body is the conduit. So I have to be very clear in if I'm working through some emotional stuff myself, you know, before I connect with any client, I have to be very clear in my body that, okay, this is mine and this is theirs. And I'm always asking, I might muscle test, I might use my pendulum, and so that I know, because it's very subtle at times. And it's just helping. It's helping, you know, I say to everybody, I'm not here to fix them. I'm not here to rescue them. I'm not here to tell them what they're not. I'm here to tell them and walk with them and share with them that everything, and they have all the possibilities inside of them. And I walk with humans on their journeys to build themselves and to build their cells. And where I work with the Council of Eight is they will deliver light codes, frequencies to work on with the DNA on a cellular level. And sometimes one session might be both. You know, if I have in-person clients, I would work with, you know, rocking their bodies gently. People on Zoom, I work internationally. If there's something within their body, I teach them tools, you know, hey guys, let's work with your fascia. You know, let's help the neck to expand, because we're emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. And we may work with the physical in one session, yet we always, always in my work, working with the emotional. Because as we know, energy in motion. And that's why I love calling them golden tears. I love it when humans allow themselves to release. So, yeah, it's just about trusting what I'm shown in the moment.
Mm. What do you perceive doing on future shows here?
Ooh, that's a great question. I actually asked myself that before we connected. I would love to have the opportunity to perhaps channel, you know, talk about just anybody calling in, wanting to share any of the experiences, and perhaps I can help them with, you know, reflecting to them and perhaps giving them a different perception. But questions, I invite questions, and so do the Council of Eight. They invite questions. So perhaps, you know, half of the show talking to people, having guests on the show, and I feel everybody is a guest out there. So calling in, asking questions, and if I can't answer the questions from myself and the journey that I've had in my perception of in the work that I've done up until this point in time, then I'll say, hey, let's bring the Council of Eight in. So that would be my hope, is to have both, if that's possible.
Anything's possible.
I knew you were going to say that.
Over a lifetime so far. you know, but today's been all about getting to having me introduce you to the News for the Soul audience. Would you like to introduce the Council to the News for the Soul assemblage?
And I normally have a good timekeeper, but if you don't mind, you know, just saying, hey, Michelle, or hey, Council, you know, we have a few minutes left or whatever, just in case time is coming up. So great. I'll see you on the other side.
All right.
We welcome you, and as we know that many of you are here today in this presence of this remarkable woman, and we mean you, beloved Nicole, as this is your presence, this is your essence, and we feel that it is important for us today to acknowledge you for all that you are bringing to this world, for all that you are bringing to humanity, for all the space and time that you have reflected on your journey. And we say to you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You are a being of light, and your vibration is way, 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 way beyond the Milky Way. We say to you and those that are tuning in to the vibration of who we are, it is not relevant around the critical mass of the status quo of the humans that we once were. As we know that that is what humans seek, and you are all on a path of seeking to know, yet we say to you that your knowing is within. And as you are all learning to unlock, 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 think of it as a massive big vault. And as you are unlocking your heart, the resonance of all of you trusting in the interconnectedness of the One, whether you call us Source, whether you call us Divine, whether you call us God, does not matter to us. What matters is how you as humans are noticing how intelligent you are, how remarkable you are, how precious you are, and how you all carry a wonderful blueprint. And as you are all waking up, as you have termed this, a wake up, a shake up, an awakening, the great shift, the great leveler, this is a moment in time that you were all born for. The new earth, as once again, you have decided to claim it, yet she is an old earth. She is an earth that has a knowing. She does not need to be rescued or saved. What she needs is to be held, as you humans need to be held, in love and light. And as you are all learning on this journey, in this lifetime, in past lives, or may we say past timelines, yet you humans refer to it as past lives, yet there are lifetimes paying themselves out right now. We say to you that in the interconnectedness of truth is pure love, heart-centered love, not head. Notice how we said this, heart-centered love. So we are showing Michelle right now the inner core of your wonderful planet that you have chosen to exist on. We are showing Michelle deep within the crystalline grid is where you have all been born. And now you are all remembering. And as we are creating the stillness, as you are learning to remember, everything is from breath. Everything is from breath. So we ask you all to find your breath. It is automatic. It is humans. Have decided on some level eons ago that this change in vibration, this change in frequency, this change in diameter was very necessary for these moments of change to be brought forward. Do you have any questions for us, please?
I was just about to jump in and say that we're almost at the top of the hour, but perhaps we can save up some questions for next time. Thank you.
This is wonderful. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for noticing, for being, as you are a vastly interconnected human being. And once again, we show much gratitude. May we please end off with a blessing of love for you.
Okay. Why not?
We thank you for receiving. It is your time to receive and receive and receive. Please allow your breath to flow in and out, in and out, in and out. We thank you, beloved. Namaste.
Thank you.
Hi, Nicole.
So that was very interesting. They started saying I was my energy was in the Milky Way or something, and I got cut off. So I missed all of that until the last few seconds. So the energy blew the energy out.
You can't make that up. Yeah.
I literally went to the Milky Way, I think. So, but I'm back now. So,
back. Are you
lovely.
Back? That's awesome. Oh, wonderful.
You know, that's happened a lot over the years. Whenever you start working with energy and you bring in powerful energy shifts during the show, it gets crazy. And that is my sick puppy behind me that sounds like a loose in heat. She's got a bit of a collapsed trachea cough there. But let's get you to do your very first shameless self-promotion. We've added some time to the clock.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to everybody that is listening today and so we have the Council of Eight community gathering every Monday morning, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., where we come together. You can check it out on my website, www.michellecarpenter, so it's LLECarpenter.co.nz or NZ. And please go and join us if you'd love to join a wonderful group of human beings. We're not a massive group of humans, which is what I love. And we just all come from a heart space and we show up for one another. And our channel on Monday mornings, which is your Sunday, obviously, in the States and the rest of the world. And we have fun. We laugh a lot. And we just share. We come in the sharing. So thank you for this opportunity. I'm incredibly grateful to you, Nicole. And thank you for all that you do for all of us.
My pleasure and honor, and I'm going to go tend to my sick puppy here, but it was great to get to know you today, Michelle, and I'm so excited about your upcoming shows. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, and lots of love to you, Nicole, and hope your puppy feels better soon.
I hope so, too. Thank you. And we're back with more. Right after
here are all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.